As David said, the text is from John 8, verse 31 through 47. And it says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is that you say, you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father.' They answered him, 'Abraham is our father.' And Jesus said to them, 'If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father did.' And they said to him, 'We were not born of sexual immortality. We have one father, even God.' Jesus said to them, 'If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you will do, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why do you not hear me then is that you are not of God."
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come to me as I preach right now, to these people at home and these people in this room as I preach. Father, we would beg for your kingdom in our minds and in our hearts. We would beg for your kingdom to rule our bodies, that your will would be done down here on earth as it is in heaven, perfectly and joyfully. Oh God, bring your kingdom and your will, please. Open your word to us, that we would see your holy word, our Bibles, as the gateway to you, that someday we might enter into the fullness of your joy. Oh God, would you protect us from the lies of the devil that would steal away your word from us, that would choke your word, that would distract us from your word. Oh God, would you protect us from the evil one and every single thing under his power, whatever that is, would you give us protection and deliverance in the name of Jesus? And would you keep us from temptation? Father, we are weak and easily tempted. Even in a church service, we're so tempted. Would you help us, oh God, that your word would be like a rain, and would it just come down and not return void to you? Would it do exactly what you would have it to do and bring for us a good and a perfect gift from above? In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we're coming to the end of 2020. We finished Psalms a week before last. So we were in Psalms for 2.5 years. I looked it up and was talking to Pastor David. Started in the summer of 2018 in the book of Psalms. So we are going to take a detour here, and we are going to do a series on trueness and truth. So today, because it's the first of the year, it's going to be my annual sermon to beg you to read your Bibles, to implore you to read your Bibles, to demand that you read your Bibles, to do whatever it is I need to do so that you will read your Bible. Commit to it this year. And we do that every year because, as I was talking with my dad over coffee this morning, there is absolutely nothing else in this physical realm that is able to do what those words on those pages can do for you. In this world and eternally. Both. Like the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. We'll get to that in a bit. But I just want to point out here at the beginning that here it is in 2020. As I spoke with a nephew yesterday, that if you want to learn about anything, you can. You can get on the internet, you can Google, and you can learn about brain surgery if you want to. You can get all the information. You can watch video after video after video and become an expert gunsmith. You can learn about the weather. You can learn about the deepest parts of the ocean. It's all available. All this knowledge, all this truth is out there. And somehow, in my short life of 43 years, this 2020 has been the worst possible year for people to understand truth and to not be confused. How in the world, I've just been dumbfounded, how we can in 2020 have so much knowledge and truth at our fingertips and so many people be confused. There's just tons of confusion in the midst of an election, in the midst of a pandemic, that you have people on opposite sides believing facts and alternate facts. That becomes part of our dialogue. Your set of facts, my set of facts, my truth, your truth. And what troubles me in 2020 is how little of doubt there is in anybody. I joke all the time, I make this joke about Baptists, that we're not always right, but we're never in doubt. And that seems to be what I see in people, not just Baptists, but in our society, in our culture, is that there's nobody doubting the things they think. And they're assured of so much. And it's the exact opposite of what somebody else is so sure of and that they don't doubt. It boggles my mind. And then, how in the world we end up, the biggest evidence I see of how truth that should be known to the world is under assault is when it comes to sexual ethics and the genders discussion they're having. That somehow there is a debate on what makes a man or a woman physically. I can't fathom in my mind how that is a discussion. That makes no sense to me. And that tells me that truth is under assault. But that's an old problem. Believing lies and being lied to is an old problem. Humanity has a truth problem, and it started in the garden. If you would, look in your Bible at Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. After the fall, when Adam and Eve sinned and ate of the fruit, God said to the woman, "What have you done?" And her answer, look at this. The very first sin, she rightly says, the serpent deceived me. The serpent told me a lie. I believed it. And then I acted on my beliefs and ate the fruit. The very beginning of our problems was to hear something that wasn't true and to believe it. In fact, from our text today, we see that Satan, who is the serpent in Genesis 3, we see that he is a liar. And when he lies, it's his very nature. So just think about that a little bit. If Satan is a liar, and that's his nature, he is the father of lies, meaning every lie you hear came from its daddy, the devil. Think about that. Think about the fact that every lie you've ever told has an ancestry of the devil. And in the beginning, he lied, and he lies now. And so, when humanity grows, we see in Romans 1:18 that unrighteous men, by their unrighteousness, this is what they do, suppress the truth. That once mankind has been deceived by the devil, been told lies, believed and act upon it, and then through our sin, when truth does come to us, we suppress it and push it away. We don't want to hear the truth, he says. Unrighteous men. This is the root of pagans. The root of every false religion is in this. Starting in verse 19, this is what suppressing the truth looks like. What can be known about God is plain to them because he has shown it to them. So that's the truth, he's saying, is plain. I use this text often. It's very good to show how we slipped into darkness. Verse 22 says how it's plain. His invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, that he is before all things, and his divine nature, that he is a God, it's been clearly perceived. This truth now has been made plain and clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. Meaning the sun, moon, the stars, space, trees, worms, rocks, humans, everything makes it plain that God is eternal, that God's all-powerful, and that God is God. That truth came to humanity even after the fall, to the point that it's so plain, there's no excuse for it. But in unrighteousness, the truth gets suppressed. Means pushed down, pushed away. That means we look at something that is plain, like a tree. Well, where'd that tree come from? And it's just obvious. There must be a tree maker. There has to be a tree maker. And we take that truth and we suppress it, and some people make the tree God. Some people cut it down, and the prophets tell us, build a fire with one half to keep warm, and the other half, build a God to worship as the creator of trees. He says, we're without excuse. Going on, he says, they knew God wants the truth, but they didn't honor God or give him thanks. Look in verse 22. This is where we're at when it becomes truth in our culture. Claiming to be wise, they become fools. Claiming to be wise, claiming to understand truth, but believing lies, suppressing the truth, how foolish is that? Man, oh man, if you could just sit in first year psychology classes in university and colleges around the country and find out what it means to think you're wise, but to be a fool. The problem is, our role in this, humanity's role in this, is the suppressing of the truth. We want to believe lies. We don't, when we ask our loved one how we look in an outfit, we don't want to hear the truth, do we? We want to hear, you look great. I'm glad you spent all that money on that. We don't want somebody to tell us the truth. It seems that way to me. It seems like we almost have mental blockers on truths. that come against us. We're okay with the truth that might come against somebody else. But when that truth comes into me and says, I might be the problem, I want to suppress that truth. And I want to be sure about myself. So much so that now we teach children. Our society wants to believe the lie of believing in yourself. That what you really need to do is to fulfill your dreams and believe in yourself. And we have a society constantly depressed because what they're believing in is falling way short and not helping them. In fact, G.K. Chesterton in Orthodoxy said, a man was meant to be doubtful about himself, but undoubting about the truth. And this has been exactly reversed. I just want you to think about this big topic of the gender discussion. Man was taught to look at the truth, which is what's in the mirror, and doubt anything that would go against what he sees as the truth. But it's been reversed in that what man sees is true, he's told it's okay to doubt. And what's in his mind must be his truth. And that reality isn't reality. Ronald Reagan quoted an old humorist from the 1800s named Billings that said something along these lines. He says, it ain't ignorance causes so much trouble. It's folks knowing so much that ain't so. It's not that people don't know things. It's just the things they know isn't even true. And we're certain of them. We're so certain of the things we believe. We are so sure, I would say, of so many lies. So if truth is under assault, if truth's our problem, how do we go to find truth? Very simple, and this brings us to what I already mentioned. I'm going to beg you to read the word of truth, the Bible. Read the Bible. Psalms 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth. Truth is in your Bible. Not all truth. There's truths that the Bible doesn't talk about. There's truths we'll be learning for eternity. But the sum of his word, all the word, is true. In fact, Jesus says in his prayer for us in John 17, 17, the night he was betrayed, when he goes to pray for his people, he says, sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. God's holy word is what will get rid of the lies in us. It's what makes simple men wise. It's what makes dumb men smart. For humanity to understand truth, humanity must begin with the word of God. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, as a pastor, he is to rightly handle the word of truth. Divide the word of truth, the King James says. That my job as a pastor is to properly handle this week after week after week, to not mess up in getting truth from here out. That's the job. So, in our search for truth, where do we look? We look in the Bible. Now, here's where we need to not look. And this isn't what we hear as much of. So we don't look inside of ourselves. This Bible is outside of me. This Bible contains truth. I need to look outside of me to something, which is the truth. We need to read the Bible. So I'm going to show you what Joanne, with all her talents by God's grace, has done for us with our Bible reading plans. Some of you will remember these from next year. Some of you will be the first time you've noticed it. I'm going to start with a beginner. If you've never set out to read the Bible on a regular basis, you need to go to this table over there. Daniel, wave your hand there. Right behind Daniel's hand wave is a table with Bible reading plans on it. There's a blue one. And if you pick that up and read what it says to read every day, you'll read through the whole New Testament this year. If you've never set out to read on a regular basis, go by there and pick up a blue one and read the New Testament this year. And if you're a young one, Joanne has, oh, I don't have a map here. There's one that folds out even bigger, and it's for children. And it's a map, and you get to mark it out every day. And you can see Dale's getting ready to hold one up. As Hannah. So that big white one there, it's got a map on it, and you can get your crayon, kids, and you can read that little part, and you can X it out. And you can go through the whole New Testament in a year. I'm telling you, you will feel like you've done something at the end of the year. When you hold that up and you see it all marked off, you'll have read more than most adults. So that's the beginners. Also, we have multiple different ones there. We have a yellow one, which is the discipleship journal reading plan. And what it does is it takes you through, let me find them here, I got notes on them. It takes you through the Old Testament and the New Testament in 25 days a month. So you'll read two scriptures from the Old, two from the New, and you'll get through the whole Bible in a year. And you only do it 25 days in a month, and so that gives you 5 days to rest. It gives you 5 days to get behind and catch up. And that's two Old Testament, two New when you read. Also, we have the orange one, which if you've read quite a bit of the Bible, but you want to see the big picture, this is one I would recommend. It's a chronological study. This one really helped me many years ago. And what it is as you read through the Bible, take you through the whole Bible in 1 year. So that might sound daunting. It's not. It's only an inch thick. That's not even the full series of The Office or Seinfeld, right? It doesn't take that much time. You can get through it in a year. This will take you through in the order in which things happened. And so it will really help bring all those Bible stories that we've heard our whole lives together. And you'll see that Isaiah, whose book is way over here, was living in the time of the Kings and Chronicles and talking to King Hezekiah. And it really helps put the Bible narrative together as it happened. So if you can tackle this one, I think you'll be greatly benefited. There's an old Scottish preacher named Robert Murray McShane, and he made this, and many people have used it over the years. It's the green one. It'll take you through the Old Testament one time in a year, and it'll take you through the New Testament Psalms twice in that year. So those that have more time and those that want to read more, it's a 7-day reading, and you read that, and you'll get through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice. I got out of order there, so I got to see, make sure. So there's another one for the children that I skipped that Joanne just did make. So I know some of you kids did a map last year. So Joanne's made another one called the Bible Bee, and it has a map on it as well. And it will take you through more than what you read last year. And what it does is it covers selected readings, some of the main ones from the Old Testament and the New Testament, to start to put that picture together of your Bible. And so that's a whole new one for the children that already did the first map. She has made a second one. And there will be an adult version of that by Wednesday come out. So read the Bible. Joanne, by God's grace, has made it easy for us. So if paper's not your thing, if you're more into apps, I use an app. I have it's called the Bible Reading Plan. And I wake up every morning. I use a 5-day plan this year I have. And it says, hey, read this section. And you read it and you check it off. There's like 100 plans in that one you can choose from. It's never been easier to read the Bible than now. It's never been easier to access truth than it is today. Never been easier. And yet, I'll confess to my shame, out of the last 10, probably 15 years, this 2020 is the hardest for me to regularly read my Bible. I think maybe because I had more time with the COVID and less things happening, that it was so easy I'll get to that in a bit. And maybe because of what we think we already know. I'm going to cover that in a little bit. So the Bible is the truth. The Word of God is truth. If you want to know what is true and real, read your Bible. So, What's the center of the Bible? Secondly, so the Bible is truth. I want to show you that Jesus is, that the Bible is all about Jesus and his work to redeem a fallen world and to restore it. The word of truth is what the Bible is. Remember that your word is the sum, or the sum of your word is truth. Look at John 1:1. We read that earlier. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now look down at verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this Word, this truth, becomes flesh and dwells among us. And we've seen his glory, so it's a person. The glory as the only Son from the Father. So now we know who it is. It's God's Son. It's Jesus. And look, he's full of grace and truth. So the word that's true becomes flesh and becomes a person who is true. And he's full of truth. So if he's full of truth and anything came out of him as he walked around, what came out of him was truth. Jesus has never told a lie. Never. Not a little white lie. No one ever asked Jesus, how do I look in this? And he goes, oh, you look good. No. He always told the truth. He might have said, you shouldn't be worrying so much about what you look like. His truth, it seems like, always came from a different angle than what we wanted. But he never said anything that wasn't true. He was full of truth. Verse 17 of John 1 says that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That when Jesus came to earth in the incarnation into the manger, it's like truth showed up in the darkness. It's like darkness of lies everywhere, and then bam, truth has come to us in Jesus Christ. In fact, he says in John 14:6, I am the truth. The truth. It's me. There is nothing more true than the person of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And in fact, he says, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Jesus says, my purpose was to give you truth. The Word of God is truth. The Son of God is truth. So how does the truth of the Son of God's Word and the truth of person Jesus free us from the slavery of believing lies? To get us off of the wicked plantation of lies. I'm glad you asked. The Holy Spirit. Look at this in John 14:16-18. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That's all the time. And look what he calls him. Even the Spirit of truth. So the Word of God is truth. The Son of God is truth. And now when truth tells us that he's going away, but he will send a helper, it's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Think about that. The world can't receive the Spirit of truth because the world does not see truth. And the world does not know truth. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This helper, Spirit of truth, is going to be within you. And it's Jesus himself, verse 18. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So the person, truth, Jesus, after his ascension, sends his Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to help us by being inside of us. That's how God's word of truth, through his Son, truth, gets inside of us. It's through the Spirit of truth. 15:26 in John. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, again, the Spirit of truth. This isn't an accident that Jesus is calling the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. He proceeds from the Father, and look what he will do. He will witness about me the way the truth. So the Spirit of truth is going to witness about the person of truth, Jesus Christ. It almost seems Like John wants to get across from chapter 1 all the way through Jesus' prayer and teaching on the Holy Spirit, that maybe we have a problem with truth. That maybe this darkness is full of lies, and maybe we need truth in the middle of it. And maybe it's so bad that just me hearing truth won't be enough, that this truth needs to get inside of me and dwell within me to get me to believe what's actually true. Do you see how dire the situation is living in a world full of lies? That without God living inside of me, I can't understand what is true. When you see how bad it is in the world, apart from the indwelling spirit, all of a sudden I'm no longer shocked that people are confused what makes a man and a woman. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you'll believe a rock is a god, you'll marry your dog, and you won't know if you're a man or a woman. That's not surprising for people that lives in a world ruled by the father of lies. So here's what the Spirit does in verse 12 through 14 of John 16. Jesus says, I got a lot of things to say to you. You can't bear them now. You can't handle it now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, when the Spirit comes, he's going to guide you. So the Helper is going to guide you into what? Into all truth. Do you realize that's the Holy Spirit's job inside of the believer? Is to guide and help them understand what's actually true? We think truth is so easy. But it takes God guiding and helping me from the inside into all truth. Now here's what. For he will not speak on his own authority. He's not making it up as he goes along. But whatever he hears, he will speak. He hears it in heaven. He speaks it into us. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. And here's what he does. Glorifies me, the person truth. And he will take what is mine, declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is taking Jesus. It's Jesus inside of us, declaring truths about Jesus to us. Without that, we'll believe only lies. So here's the pictures God setting us free in Christ. By his grace, we hear the word of his truth. James 1:18 says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Our being born again is by God's word of truth getting into us. He brings us forth by that. Then the Spirit of truth works in our inner being to believe the word of truth, the Bible, to put our hope of salvation in truth himself, Jesus. When I got on my Bible, computer Bible, eSword is what I use, and I typed in truth, there was hundreds of times the word truth is used. And then I went to the word true, and again, tons and tons and tons the word true is used. It's a theme in the Bible that humanity believes lies. The devil orchestrates that, and we need truth. And God brings it through his word, through his son, through his spirit. That's what we need to be set free. We need the word, the man, and the spirit of truth, all of which are outside of us unless we're born again. Outside of us. So what do we do? Well, application I've already given you. Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. But that's not enough. We need to pray in humility that God would reveal truth to us as we read. I think that was my biggest problem in reading the Bible this year. Is I haven't read the Bible tons, but I've read it enough now that when I get, especially because I use the exact same Bible, when this one wears out, I have another one that'll be exactly like it, to where my brain never has to adapt to some verse being on a different page than what I'm used to, right? But what that does now, when I go through it, I can say, I know everything on this page. I know the story about David and Bathsheba. I know the story about Naaman. I know the story about the apostles in Acts 2. I've read this before. And you just get to skimming. And what I've done is, I have truth in front of me, but I have the assumption that I already understand truth. And I've already got the fullness of it. And I'm gliding over truth. You know what's happened to me multiple times this year? Somebody will say something, and I'll think, is that in there or isn't it? Because I skimmed over it, because I already knew it, I get to a point where I don't know what I know about it. And I find that scary. So we need to pray in humility and pray that he will open our eyes so that we would see what truth is and what lies are. Now I want to look briefly, and I mean that actually, I want to look briefly at today's text to see our biggest danger. I don't think there could be, and I don't mean to be offensive, but I don't think we have anyone hearing this that is in confusion of what a man is or a woman is. I don't think I have anyone in here believing the lie that Muhammad is the way to salvation or tempted to worship the chair as a Hindu would. I don't think that's the case. But what we do have is a bunch of people that have Bibles. What we do have is a bunch of people that knows what's in them. And in that lies a danger that we might not be aware of. And that's in today's text. Look at John 8:32, when Jesus says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Look who he says that to. Jesus said this to the Jews who had believed him. And he said to them, abide in my words. And if you do, you're truly my disciples. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. He says this to the Jewish people who's believing what he's saying. Religious people. We learn later that they are the Jewish leaders. These people, in verse 33, say, we're the offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anybody. And Jesus just told them they needed to be set free, that they're slaves to sin. And they're like, no, we're not. We're Abraham's children. We're God's chosen people. I've never been slave to anybody. And he begins to lay it out for them, and they still suppress it. And saying, you're the one that was born from sexual immorality. We know Mary's your mommy, but this Joseph guy, we know he's not your dad, Jesus. They say, we're not born from sexual immorality. We can prove we actually come from Abraham's loins. We have the paperwork. And he's telling them they're slaves. They live on a plantation. And they won't believe it. And he says, you can't bear what I say. They can't handle the truth. This isn't a great sermon illustration, but that movie, A Few Good Men, that famous scene in there where Jack Nicholas is Colonel Jessup, and he tells Tom Cruise, say, you can't handle the truth. That's here in the Bible. Jesus is telling the Pharisees the truth, and they're sticking their fingers in. They can't handle it. That they need to be saved? You realize these people knew the truth, they had it memorized. They had the Old Testament memorized. And yet, they're slaves and they don't know it. They're blinded to it. They had the promises. They had the temple. They had it all. And yet, they believed lies instead of the truth. And they hated the one that their Bible is about. Folks, that's scary to me. They had everything they needed and still believed horrendous lies to the point that they hung truth on a cross and killed him. No one should have recognized the truth more than these people. If they can miss, they were talking to the way, the truth, and the life. They did not recognize him, and they killed him. Man, if that can happen to them, what could happen to others? These weren't drunkards. These weren't sexually immoral people. These weren't liars and swindlers. They were good church folk who paid their tithes, went to church on a regular basis, and they went to hell after having a conversation with the Son of God. That is terrifying. Having a Bible app won't get truth inside of you. Having it on your nightstand won't get it in your heart. Folks, we need a miracle. In fact, they were children of the devil, verse 44. They said, we're Abraham's children. We've never been enslaved. And he says, in fact, your dad is the devil. Our biggest danger here at Fellowship Baptist Church is believing that we know enough truth. Believing we've got to figure it out. It terrifies me to think that some of you who hear me preach on a weekly basis will go to hell. And I'm convinced that's true. I'm preaching this series, and I'm going to talk. I'm just begging you, the Bible is God's true word. Read it. Next week, we're going to talk about the true gospel. Some of you have misconceptions about what the good news actually is. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about true conversion, what it means to be truly born again. Some of you have misconceptions about what it means to be a Christian. And then we're going to talk about a true church, what it means to be the called out people of God. And lastly, we're going to talk about true evangelism, what it means to truly be working in the field, being a laborer. And you know what terrifies me more than the fact that you may hear me preach and go to hell? That me and my arrogance might lead you there by not handling truth properly. Man, what an obligation to stand here week after week after week and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And we'll stand before God and find out if he said it or not. These Pharisees will stand before God and find out they were wrong about the most important thing. That they took spices from their garden and split them up like some drug dealer to make sure it was just exactly right, to be pleasing to God. That's how serious they were about their religion, and they went to hell. That's terrifying. Our biggest danger is believing that we know enough truth. These religious leaders were not right at all, and they had no doubts about their knowledge of God. They were convinced they knew God. I'm convinced I know God. Should we doubt everything? No. Should we doubt ourselves? Yes. Should you be wary of me? Absolutely. What do you trust then? The Bible, God's Son Jesus, and his Holy Spirit. You can't have anything else guide you into truth. May we here at Fellowship commit ourselves anew to seeking the God of truth through the word of truth by the aid of the Spirit of truth, so that Jesus, truth himself, would be our joy and our treasure. Wouldn't it be scary to meet God and find out that we had it wrong? To find out we had it wrong. Oh God, may we behold you in your word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, the sum of your word is truth. You have given us your Spirit of truth to shine light on your Son, the truth. And yet, I'm scared of lies. I have seen more in the last 12 months of my own susceptibility to believe untruths than maybe ever before in my life. I've seen more than in the last 5 years, Fellowship Baptist Church susceptibility to believe things that aren't true in the last 12 months. And oh God, our culture has been swallowed and is gone in lies. Would you do a miracle in me that I would doubt myself every morning and run to your word for truth, to find your Son, the truth, through the power of your Spirit, the truth, that I might love the brethren in truth and in spirit. Would you do a work here of fellowship that we would doubt ourselves and trust in you through your word, your Spirit, and your Son? That we would not rely on the fact that we have a confession of faith. That we wouldn't rely on our covenant. We wouldn't rely on our practices. That we would constantly want to be molded into truth and to see all lies go. Father, would you root this in your word in the name of Jesus? That we might see you. That we would never worship the Bible, but it would be a springboard that we might see you and behold you in your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.